And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
More fun to have a natural conversation than a pre-scripted, tell us your inspirations.
Right. Yes, I got you. I'm down with that. Yeah, let's do it.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe. Another interview right now for SML. I am joined at this time by Matthew Seymour of Heavy Iron Studios. How are you doing?
I'm very good, Joe. Great to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you on here. A little bit late, but we'll blame your secretary for that.
Oh, no, let's not do that. And don't you dare call her a secretary. even though she's about 5'6" and nice and slim and trim, she'll take you down, and she gave me a serious stink eye because it was my fault, and I'll tell you why. Because what we do in game development, especially as an independent gamer, is we're always looking for money. And that's what I was doing. I was talking with some very, very cool, great people who get it, and I was having a lovely Mexican lunch here in L.A. at the Hacienda. It's old school Mexican. And we got kind of carried away, and he was telling stories and this and that. And I was trying to get away, and I really appreciate your patience with us, Joe. So thank you.
It's fine. As a broke video game consumer, I too am always looking for money. And unfortunately, I did not eat at a fancy Mexican place. I had SpaghettiOs on my couch.
Lovely.
While watching TV.
Chef Berardee. Yeah, nice. I think it's a misnomer to say the place I was fancy. It sounds fancy, but it's what we say in Southern California. It's old school Mexican. So lots of people getting hammered at the bar. We weren't at the bar drinking giant margaritas, but your nice refried frijoles and chili rellenos and crispy tacos and that kind of thing. So it was lovely, but definitely not fancy.
Well, to my defense, if they require pants, it's fancier than what's going on in my life right now.
Yeah, you don't need pants to eat SpaghettiOs. That's for sure. unless there's going to be some fancy Manhattan restaurant that starts feeding its customers canned tomato products. I think there's that new place you guys got over there in the East Coast that has cereal, right? It's a cereal store or whatever.
Is that like Momofuku or whatever it is up in New York City?
Yeah, something like that. And you can get your Count Dracula and your Fruit Loops and magically delicious cereal and all of that. Yeah, which actually I would probably partake in for sure if I was in the neighborhood.
Oh, if I was in New York, I'm 3 hours away from New York. And
are you? Okay.
The high class things that we have in our area are like Denny's.
Nice. IHOP, Denny's.
I am in redneck country. Like my area of Pennsylvania is like shithole redneck land. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I gotcha. Here.
I dated a gal from Pennsylvania outside of the Pittsburgh area. She was actually one of the love of my life. So, but no longer. I have the love of my life now, in case my wife listens to this.
It's okay. No one's listening.
Yeah, right. There you go. She was a very nice gal, very salt of the earth type there. So, so I'm a fan of Pennsylvania is what I'm trying to say.
Nice. There's not many fans of Pennsylvania, including all of Pennsylvania. So you're one of the few.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, well, there you have it.
My area, our claim to fame is I'm about 15 minutes away from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I live in Wilkes-Barre. They're kind of lumped together, but Scranton, of course, the setting of the American version of The Office on NBC.
Right.
So
of course.
That is literally our only claim to fame.
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, at least, well, you can consider me a fan regardless. So there you have it. Start a fan club and I'll be there.
All right. So you're a fan of Pennsylvania and I am a fan of Heavy Iron Studios,
okay,
which
great.
Is good, which leads us off. Tell us who you are and what you do. That's always a good beginning of a show.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Let's bring some context here. So again, I'm Matthew. Hello again, everybody. And my title here at Heavy Iron Studios is I'm Vice President of Product Development. That's a very long-winded title and very nebulous one, too. A lot of people don't understand what that is. Fortunately, I do. So what I'm essentially responsible for is literally developing product. So I might not necessarily be responsible for getting it all the way to the end, but I will be the one who takes on any sort of proposals that we might receive for work for hire gigs from various publishers or financiers or movie companies, et cetera. And I will look at those proposals, and it's my responsibility to get back to those people with something super cool that they would love to hire us for. In addition to that, it's my responsibility to develop any sort of original intellectual property / IP that we might have, and essentially get it off the ground and put some wings on it so it can soar. And then once it starts to soar, then that's when we get the really smart people involved, i.e. the coders, animators, artists, producers, designers, etc., to really take that vision and crystallize it and do the hardest part, which is to execute. So yeah, that's what I do for Heavy Iron.
And what was your title again?
Vice President of Product Development.
I need a fancy title instead of Joe. I'm thinking I'm the president of guest and talent relations of the SML podcast. I am also the on-air, the featured on-air player. That sounds fancy, right?
That sounds good. You could throw traffic manager in there if you like. Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, maybe a little A&R maybe, you know, as well. Why not?
Instead, I think on our Twitter account, my official title right now is gamer/fat guy.
Joe.
Which works since you're on with Fat City.
That's right. It does. It does. Yeah. And a lot of people, I'm just going to jump to the chase here, just in case there's any folks sort of scratching their head out there about why Fat City. And that name essentially is very old school, like Fat Cat. The city is full of targets. And it's kind of a 1930s kind of gangster sort of term, and it's not spelled, you know, P-H-A-T. It's the traditional fat, and that's why we name this game. So it's as if the area is ripe and fat to be ripped off. And that's where the name of the game comes from that we've just put out recently.
Nice. And it could also go with fat paychecks you're looking for from the heist.
There you go. There you go. That's true.
So yeah. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, because I think everybody's lost by now.
Yes, absolutely.
Discounting the Mexican food, what is Fat City? Give us the sales pitch.
There you go. Yeah, we should do that, shouldn't we? So this is a lovely little game. I like to call it a heist puzzler. It's the movie Heat meets Pac-Man, essentially. It's a game that I originally created and sort of had the vision for. There's so many puzzle games out there, whether they're Match 3 or what have you, that are very cute and fuzzy and warm and colorful and bright, and that's awesome. And they lean more towards sort of a mass market audience and even towards the girls and gals out there, which is great. But I wanted to bring something that was a little bit more dude and a little bit more edgy and a little bit more dark. So guys could play this on the plane or their mobile in the subway or what have you. Never while you're driving, people out there. And have something that the guy could play and kind of flip the phone around and go, yeah, I'm playing this, and not sort of be sheepish about it and sort of own it. So you play the main character, who is Chris Cross, and he is an ex-special ops guy out of the military. And essentially, his sister has been kidnapped by a nefarious crime syndicate, and they are pressuring you to save your loved one, to utilize your skills and all that training that we help pay for as taxpayers, and that Chris Knox went through, you know, supporting our freedom and all of that, to go and to go on the rob, essentially, and in New York City. So the game's based in New York City, and there's over 60 missions there, and you have to figure out first and foremost how you're going to hit the target and then get away into a safe house. And it's a puzzle game, so it's a little bit of an abstract presentation, but it still has all the elements of the heist genre, meaning you have to plan your heist, and then you have to execute your heist, and then you need to get away. And you can use various pieces of equipment like EMP grenades and facial scramblers and explosions. And eventually, as you progress through the game, you have accomplices that you hook up with, and you have a demolitions man and a hacker and a wheel woman, Dolly, who has turbos and caltrops and slash tire shredders that help you successfully pull off the heist and get away from cops. So that's Fat City.
I think you've answered every question I was just about to ask. So I guess we'll just wrap this up. It's been
all right. We're done now. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
One of the things I loved about Fat City, and I think all your mentioning of like turbos and grenades and EMPs, it's not an action game. Like, I don't want anyone out there to get confused and think that this is an action heavy game, because it's very much a thinking game. And yes. I love that about the game. Where it's not like every other game out there now is just shoot everyone, go in, do your thing, and oh, I'm done. We just did payday. We murdered everyone. we murdered 400 cops, and somehow we still got into a van and left. I don't know how. It's a terrible police force, but there is actual planning and thinking here, and I love that because I love puzzle games.
Thank you, Joe, and I really appreciate you pointing that out. Yes, absolutely, and I was kind of being a little bit vague when I said it was an abstract there. Yeah, you're not really killing anybody. You're sort of hampering them. You're stopping them from pursuing you. There's no shooting anybody in the face or anything like that. And yeah, there's that planning that you got to think. And then even once you've done the planning, then you move into the execution phase, and that's when it goes into a real-time mode, and that's when you get to sort of manipulate your plan in order to really ensure that you succeed and you don't get busted. And if you do get busted, then you need to bail out your accomplices and yourself using the money that hopefully you've been able to acquire here and there. Or if you don't have the money, then people got to do the time, which reminds me of a quote from the movie Colors. I might be dating myself a bit, but Robert Duvall and Sean Penn, where one of the, and I forgot that actor, he's a great Mexican-American actor, but he was going to jail. And I think Sean Penn was saying, well, why don't you just bail yourself out? And he says, I got more time than money. Which I think is very astute issue on the whole criminal justice system, but I don't know if we want to go there just now.
Yeah. Because jail is never fun.
No. And if you can get out, stay out, or never go. Yeah, absolutely. But let's not go into us spending any time in jail either. I've already made the faux pas of talking about ex-girlfriends in this thing, so... Let's stay away from that topic as well.
I did a weekend on a mistake, so
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I did an overnight on a mistake. I like how you put that, a mistake. Yes. Yeah, and the problem was is I could have got out earlier, except none of my friends would answer the phone to bail me out because, A, it was really early in the morning, and, B, they didn't have the money to bail me out. Oh, so I literally had to deal with – I had to do the time. And the funny thing is that because I was there for so long and they didn't expect me to be there so long, they moved me into the felony tank at about 5 a.m. And that's never fun. And it was completely jam packed. And of course, most everybody was sleeping. And there was nowhere for me to go. And I just so happened to be sort of a relatively tall white guy who looks very surfery, by the way, people out there. And I look very Southern Californian. And so I had to stand in the middle of this felony tank because there was nowhere to go. And then they threw this other guy who was very much a fish out of the water. And they threw him in there. And so he and I were standing there and I'm going, oh, crap, we're just giant targets here when everybody starts to wake up, you know, anytime now. And so I was able to actually find, they had a payphone back when that's people where you put money, coins in the thing, and it has a dial and you call people with. And it was kind of halfway up one of the walls, and I was able to crawl underneath that. And then that left the other big, tall, white guy, less surfery looking than me, just standing there. So I'm like, oh, okay, great. Then he's the target now. and then I proceeded to get on the phone and pretend that I was a car thief because the trustees started coming down the prison hallway with food. And so it was breakfast time. And so people were starting to stir and slightly wake up. So I needed to get my story out to those. And so I got on the phone, called my friends, hopefully to get me out because now it's getting serious. And people are starting to wake up and the whole thing. And, of course, I just went straight to voicemail as I did 50 times before that. And so I just started to talk to my imaginary friend on voicemail and tell him how I got busted jacking a car just in case anybody would overhear me. And then that would be my story. But and to end it. So without going on ad nauseum is literally about 10 minutes later, I get the call from the sheriff's Seymour. Front and center, hands on the bars. And I'm like, that's Seymour, man. And they're like, whatever, shut up. And then the gate opened and I walked out. And then the sheriff immediately, or the deputy sheriff, said, hey, man, nice job trying to be the tough guy there. but it's not working. And then he was very nice, actually sweet. And he goes, you don't belong here. You're gone. You're free. We're letting you out. And don't come back. And I was like, yes, sir. You're absolutely officer, deputy, sheriff, sir. And and then literally there was one of those big doors that opens up slowly and all of that, just like you see in the movies. And I walked down, it was about 7 a.m, and I was literally like, oh my God, I'm a free man. So, haven't been in since. So there you have it.
Nice. I'm sure I would have been in and out in a few hours, but they never gave me a phone call.
Wow.
Yeah. I asked for all weekend long, never got a phone call. And it was over something where I missed a court date that I had to go to. I thought it was the next day. And like that night, I tried going to the police station and explaining the issue. It's like, I don't want to get arrested. This was a mistake. They're like, just call your lawyer in the morning. You'll be fine. So I called my lawyer in the morning. They said everything was fine. A couple days later, I get pulled in for a missed court date. I'm like, they said it was okay. Yeah. I called my lawyer. And then they just ignored me. I didn't get a phone call. I didn't get anything. It was on a Friday. And on, I think, Sunday morning, something like that, or Monday morning, they let some of us go in front of a video conference with a judge. That's how low on the spectrum we were, a video yeah. conference. Right, couldn't yeah. bother taking us out of the building. And I'm like, listen, this is what happened. I called my lawyer. They said it was taken care of. I never got a phone call because I could have called my lawyer and this would have been taken care of. I shouldn't be here right now. He's like, yeah, you're free. Go.
Awesome.
So yeah. I still had to wait like 6 hours to get an right. official release, but.
Yeah, no, that. Yeah. Yeah. So you still got the bad end of the stick regardless, even though they let you out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I gotta think of something tough that it was for, because just saying like, oh, I was accused of stealing stuff from Best Buy doesn't sound as good. Oh, I know. I fucking stabbed someone. That's what I did.
There you go. See? Yeah. You got to go all hard like I was doing. Yeah.
Right in the eye. So he, oh, old one eye, they call him now.
That's right. Nice. I like it. And he's still looking for me with his one eye.
Can't find me. I'm always on the left side of him. He just doesn't see me.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, we go to the same bar. I just sit on the left side. I like it.
Oh, yeah, man.
And you've never been in since. So good, nope, man. See, no, we grew up.
I stay away from. I'm not a troublemaker. Like, even the accusation was bullshit, but
yeah,
public defenders are like, just say you did it and then you won't go to jail.
Exactly. So, yeah. yeah. Cop a plea, man. Cop a plea. Yeah. But then they make you cop like a lower plea. So you're like, yeah, okay. I could. Oh, trespassing? Yeah. All right. I'll take trespassing, sure, right?
I'm too much of a nerd to cause trouble. I'm a video gamer. I'm not a thug.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to play Rock Band.
Speaking of that, what did I read the other day? It's the latest one just barely squeaked into the top 10. So, I need to take a look at it and see what's new and kicking about it, but it's nice to hear that it's kind of back, if you will.
I am very happy to hear that the new Rock Band is selling well. I'm very happy about that.
No, it's great because it's a, you know, it's a fun game. It's a great party game. No violence, you know, except for people arguing about who's going next, kind of thing. So.
I just played bass, dick.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll play guitar.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it was always hard to get everybody together to do that and sort of stay focused because, you know, somebody wants to go off and hit on somebody or go get another beer. Or yeah, it was definitely herding cats when it came playing that game.
I still love it. I picked it up last week. Some people were sending me games to check out or they're asking for interviews. I'm like, listen, Tuesday, Wednesday is me time because Rock Band just came out. Yes. Your shit could wait. Like this. I have spent so much money on Rock Band over the years, and I love that nearly all of the content you've previously bought carries over to the new games.
Yes, yes. As it should be. Absolutely, as it should be.
So I've got 1,500 songs ready to play in Rock Band 4.
Nice. Wow, that's quite a collection. Yeah, that's kind of scary, actually. But yeah, well done, sir.
And that doesn't include all the stuff that doesn't carry over, like Rock Band Network songs.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't.
There's so many more.
Now, did you ever, what was that one, Guitar Smith, or what the hell was the one?
Rocksmith?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. That you could actually learn. Did you ever try that? Because I never did.
I have it, and I have played bass on it. I'm not very good at the whole switching strings thing. Like, the finger positioning, I could get it down fairly well, but, like, switching one or two strings, I could do. When it wants me to go to, like, the fourth bass string out of nowhere, I'm panicking and I'm losing it. I've never done it with guitar, but yeah, with bass, I have a lot of fun with it. It's really cool to play, but in my heart, nothing beats plastic instruments with five color buttons.
Okay, great. But it sounds like you're a bass player anyway, Are you or are you not?
I am not a real bass player at all.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
The first time I ever even picked up a bass was with Rocksmith. My one co-host, he had an old bass that he was just going to junk, and he ended up giving it to me as a present because he knew I picked up Rocksmith, and he's like, well, I'm not using this, so here, you can have it.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I just messed around with that. But nope, I am not an actual musician. My co-host is, but he's actually in a different room right now learning drum songs because he's in a new band and he's their drummer. And he has to cram like 100 brand new songs in a couple days.
Wow. Wow. I feel for him. So what kind of music is the band?
His band is like a bar covers band.
Okay.
It's a lot of modern stuff. His own stuff that he's done is like heavy metal stuff.
Okay. All like
right. The stuff where you can't understand the singer.
Right. Gotcha. So. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Just a lot of screaming, all of that. Yeah.
Growling. Okay. Yeah. A lot of double bass pedal. He's into the heavy stuff, but he's dealing with all the pop songs with his new band because that means he gets money. And he's a fan of money.
Yes. Yeah. As we were talking about, we all are. Absolutely. That was my whole Mexican story. Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of money, this actually leads me to an email question I got. It's recently been resolved, so it doesn't even make sense to really ask it, but maybe we could get behind what happened. It's about the pricing of the game.
Sure.
I got a question. My friend Shiz Blacka, Sean, he's a streamer, and he was really interested in the game, but he never picked it up because it was priced so high.
Yeah.
He says, I have a question for the Fat City guys. The game seems interesting and like it has a cool style. And after hearing its easy gamer score, he's an achievement hunter, that can be done rather quickly. It definitely interested me more until I saw the price tag. My question is, why such a steep price tag for such a short game? I don't mean it in an attacking manner, but with so many indie games coming out every week, why did you go that route?
Yes.
And for those who don't know, the game was originally priced at what, like 20 bucks?
1840. 1849.
Good year, by the way. Good year.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And great question. And no problem answering it again. It was literally my fault. So when you're self-publishing a game, and those of you out there that might be interested in doing this, there's quite a they try not to make it complicated, but you have to imagine that you are pricing things for every single territory that that Xbox One store allows for. And you're also trying to figure out currency rates and various other things and make it fair and reasonable and for the amount of content and challenge and fun and all of that for every territory. And I literally was figuring out the pricing while I was on vacation. And I had to change some things, and I had no Wi-Fi because I was camping. And the closest camping place was a visitor center on the beach that was closed, but you could sit outside of it and connect because there was no password or anything like that. You didn't have to go inside when they were open and buy a cup of coffee or talk to the ranger to get the password because there wasn't one. And so I spent a lot of time outside this visitor center on my vacation, which in itself wasn't great. But I had just misentered a field. And because of the nature of these kinds of things, it's a process and you can't just turn it back. Because you need to go. Well,
sorry, my email went off on my phone. My Earthbound ringtone. People who've listened to the podcast have heard that many times because we would record with my phone.
It
would go off.
I see. So long story short is, my bad. But it is $12.99 right now. It's been corrected. It's a fair price, and you can go out and now you can go crazy and rob all of New York City for a low price of $12.99.
Which I think is a great price for the game. When I was playing it, see, I couldn't really justifiably complain about the price because you guys were nice enough to give us a review code and some giveaway codes.
That's correct.
I personally couldn't really complain about the price since I got it. But in my eyes, that was basically the only downside I really saw with the game, because I thought the game itself was a lot of fun, required a lot of thinking. It could be on the short side if you're an achievement hunter and you kind of like cheapoed your way through it, which I'm going to ask you in a minute. But otherwise, I thought everything was great. And I think $12.99 is a perfectly reasonable price for the game.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate those kind words. Yes. And in regards to taking this game further, maybe I'm jumping in on your question there a bit, but we do intend to offer up other cities. That's kind of how the sequels will work on that. So, you know, in the near future, you could potentially rob Rome or London or Shanghai or Kuala Lumpur or all kinds of different places. And we intend on focusing more on like really landmarks and interest points in those various cities to kind of up the ante a bit. So that's kind of where we intend on taking it next.
Nice. The cheapo thing that I'm kind of I wanted to focus on, though, is a lot of people are seeming to just like schematic their way through the game. Like, instead of actually playing the game as it should be played and actually trying to figure this shit out on their own, a lot of people, just to get quick achievements, will play like through one level, and then from then on they'll just buy schematics for every level without even trying it. Do you see that as a problem?
Yes, I do. The other side of that, though, is the fact is I rather people can kind of play all the way through and not just get utterly stuck. The balance is such that if you did try to buy everything, a schematic, or for those of you out there who haven't played it yet, we call it the heist planner. And essentially it tells you the right route to go, but you still need to figure out the timing when you're in real time, or what we call execution mode. So that's kind of why I'm okay with it. One, because you'll probably run out of money if that's all you're doing to some extent. And two is that you need to figure out the timing still.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we balance that out. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's lots of these are huge design debates that we have. You know, have we made games too easy now? You know, everything, we're trying to appeal to the casual audience. And my thing is, quite frankly, is I think we've bitch slapped the players for so long, quite frankly. You know, I've been making games for 26 years now, and we were quite arsy about it for a long, long time. And it's like, hey, you paid the money. You want to have a good time. You want to live the fantasy. You know, why make it impossible for people? So, again, this is a huge debate, and I'm not trying to solve it right here with Fat City. But again, for those two reasons, I think it's okay. I think that balance is okay.
If I may add a suggestion for possible future games is, I think you should try the Nintendo route where you have to fail before you can take the easy way.
Nice. Very good point.
Because I know a lot of people that have played through, like, they'll do the easy levels in each stage, build up money, and then they'll just get to the point where they'll spend $10,000 to get the heist planner, then they'll do it and they'll get, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 back. And after they've already beaten so many levels, they have such a stockpile of money that from then on, they'll just buy a bunch of EMP grenades or the little smoke grenades to just get through the cops when you run into them.
Right.
But they just won't try the planning. They're just too eager to get those easy achievement points, which, I'll be honest, I played it the way it should be played. If I failed on levels, I at least tried and failed a handful of times before I would buy that planner.
Right.
Too many people just breeze through.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's a tricky one, and I appreciate your sort of your tenacity and integrity, for a lack of a better word. And now I'm guilting people who do it the other way. But like I said, it's you know, in the end, I want them to succeed. I want them to live out the fantasy and feel good. And maybe, hey, I'm a criminal, and so I'm going to cheat.
You know, that's so a good way to put it. You are a criminal.
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Live it, man. Own it. Own that criminal lifestyle. Right.
Plus, so hell, you already got their money. They could play how they want. Right.
Well, that's you know, that's part of the larger debate. It is. It's absolutely part of the larger debate. You know, and there are certain games out there too. Now, you know, people got a pretty good idea what they're getting themselves into. This, for the most, you know, it's a puzzle game. It's not 100-hour Fallout. You know, it's not GTA. It's not Assassin's Creed. So you know, when you're going to play those games, you got to put in the time, and it's going to take you a long time, and it's going to get really hard. I wanted this to be sort of an in and out thing that you're having fun with, and again, you're living the fantasy. And I'm just not going to bog you down or bum you out. That's kind of where I was coming from.
Night. This is the one night stand of video games.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. It could be. Yeah. Absolutely. Literally a one night stand. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you've been designing games for 26 years now. What are some of the big titles you've worked on?
So I've had quite a few, not big titles. the nature of entertainment, being that it's hard to find those hits and to create those hits, no matter you're making games or music or writing books, et cetera. But I am proud of a few, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But, those of us that aren't real publisher producers or designers, et cetera, we actually have, you know, very few games even after 26 years, because, you know, we're spending, you know, anywhere from a year to 4 years on a game. And, you know, I have friends that have spent much longer on that. And unfortunately, you know, some of them never see the light of day, et cetera. So I'm just kind of on my soapbox here a little bit, stating that, you know, always watch out for people who have been, say, in the industry for 10 years and they have 25 games, because they're probably full of shit. But anyway, to answer your question, I have a bunch of favorite games, but the one I'm probably most known for is Top Spin. So myself, when I was working with Microsoft, myself and a group out of Paris, France, called Power and Magic, we came out with Top Spin, which essentially I developed with them to be the virtual tennis killer. And in a lot of ways, we were. And so that's probably one of my more successful games, critically acclaimed games. You know, and it went to, I think it's up to Top Spin 4 now. I'm no longer involved with it. And then after that would have to be Amped, and I was particularly responsible for Amped 3, which was the last of the snowboarding games, where I won, like, the most funniest game, most humorous game, et cetera. And I'm very proud of that for that reason, as sort of my number one reason why I love that game so much. Unfortunately, it got kind of beat up because it was an Xbox 360 launch title.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really worried about that it had all the whiz bang of the graphics and particle effects and all of that. I wanted it to be fun and funny. And so when it came out on the 360, a lot of people were like, oh, the graphics aren't da 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 da. And, you know, and there's all these just graphic Nazis when it comes to a launch title that I find, like you, I find very sort of boring. But with this game, we did some really amazing things when it came to the narrative and telling the story, as well as the gameplay was very fun. But we always kind of took a backseat to SSX, which was a fine racing game. It's not a snowboarding game, folks out there. SSX was a racing game that you could do tricks to get power-ups and to affect the time and your place and all of that when it came to the results screen. But it wasn't truly a snowboarding game. And being a very relatively big snowboarding enthusiast, I'm very happy that Amp 3 was actually a snowboarding game that was really funny and lived up to the culture of the snowboarding culture quite well. So those two were big. I made another game a long time ago that I'm very proud of called Scooby-Doo Mysteries, which was on the Sega Genesis and the SNES. And it was a graphic adventure point-and-click game, very much in the realm of Day of the Tentacle, Full Throttle, very much inspired by Tim Schafer, who I knew at the time. We worked very closely together. I was in Sausalito, and he was up in San Rafael with LucasArts. And a bunch of the other guys there at LucasArts I had a lot of respect for. So I made this game, Scooby-Doo Mysteries, based off sort of that point and click and that humor and all of that. So I'm very proud of that game as well. And then what we're doing now here at Heavy Iron with our Disney Infinity series, helping out Avalanche Studios, which is the tip of the spear. They're the Disney studio, and they're the ones doing the console versions. We're responsible for the mobile versions. I'm very stoked about how we've been able to sort of do the translation, if you will, from a console game to a mobile game for something of this size with all those wonderful characters, et cetera. And we just launched Disney Infinity 3.0 for the iOS. The Android version's coming out anytime now. And, of course, that's got a lot of focus on the Star Wars stuff that it was a lot of fun working on. So, that's just kind of a quick cliff notes or summary on my game history there.
Well, it's definitely an awesome history that you have. I, for one, am going to have to try finding a way to play that Scooby-Doo Mysteries game because it sounds pretty awesome.
It is. And yeah, thank you.
Unfortunately, I have never had the chance to play Amped 3. I have looked for it when I was in game stores multiple times, and it seemed that every time I would finally find it, it would either not have the case, which I need to have cases. I hate those generic cases. Right. Or the disc would be scratched to hell and back.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. Here's the thing. I think if you it would be better if you had a European 360, because I have loads of those. Not that they weren't playing those. I just seem somehow, you know, hey, folks, by the way, for us developers out there, we don't necessarily have loads and loads of these things sitting around, you know, that we can give to everybody and their auntie. But for some reason, I have a lot of European versions. So if you or one of your friends has a European 360, because they were all locked, well, still are, right, territorially locked, but I would be happy to send you one that's shrink-wrapped and everything. So, but there's that relatively large caveat that now I got to go find a European 360. But
yeah. Unfortunately, I only have my American one.
Yeah, American. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, well, maybe if I dig around, maybe I can find a U.S. copy somewhere. I'll be sure to get it to you. Because I appreciate the fact that you want all the original stuff, totally. And granted, not a scratch disc.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love having games, but like if the cover art has like apple juice stains on it, and the disc has like dog bite marks in it.
Right, yeah.
It just kind of loses that charm.
Yeah, definitely.
I can handle some scuffs and some fingerprints. You know, shit happens, but...
Right, yeah, I hear you.
You gotta have some respect for the games that you purchase, people, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and you're creating a library, you know, and you want to have top quality stuff in your library. Yeah, absolutely.
So I see some other 360 titles you've worked on, like Family Guy, SpongeBob titles, stuff like that.
Yes.
Where do those titles fall in terms of backward compatibility? Are we going to see those hit the service? Anything that you're in control of?
Yeah, great question. So that's Heavy Iron, particularly. I do have a credit on Family Guy. I've been working with Heavy Iron just over 4 years. So many of the games that I was mentioning earlier, sans the Disney Infinity stuff, I wasn't involved in, but Heavy Iron was. But to answer those questions, specifically, yes, they're not in our control. Is kind of the horrible straight answer to you. We made those for THQ, which we know is now dead and buried, and then they were licensed games. So, you know, any sort of remastering or bringing those back legitimately, that would ultimately fall in the hands of the licensors at this point.
Yeah.
Now that THQ is no longer with us, so. So, yeah, it's kind of a shame. I will say that there are a number of SpongeBob petitions out there for Heavy Iron to make more SpongeBob games or to remaster, particularly SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom, in particular, was sort of the masterpiece of the SpongeBob series as far as the consumers go, in particular. And we would love to have that opportunity. So if there's anybody at Nintendo that's listening in, give us a call. We'll be happy. We'll be happy to make that happen. And we still have a lot of the people that worked on that game are still working with us, and they would be super excited to be a part of that.
I'll just throw this out there. If anyone in Nintendo is listening, give us a call too, because we would love to work with you guys.
There you go. Yeah. I didn't mean Nintendo. I meant Nickelodeon. My apologies. Nickelodeon. But
hey, Nintendo, Nickelodeon, we'll take calls from anyone.
The ends. Anybody with the ends. Nickelodeon.
Nabisco, give us a call. Yeah, we could use cookies.
Exactly.
We'll let the Keebler elves throw some sponsorship on this bitch.
Whatever. There you go. Definitely with Nickelodeon, they did make another game, a mobile game recently for the latest SpongeBob movie. But I tell you, I mean, there are change.org petitions out there for us to remaster the SpongeBob games. And it's really, I mean, it really puts a smile on our face when we get those emails or the post on our Facebook page. God darn it, I really wish, you know, we could do something, but it's up to Nickelodeon. So again, talk to them.
I will do my best to get in touch with Nickelodeon and make this happen.
Thank you.
Can't promise anything.
No. So, I have something I want to talk about. I was, you know, the Arma 3 thing. I wanted to hear from you, Joe. That seems to be getting, I mean, you know, it's been sort of quiet and, you know, very sort of niche or clicky underground. To a large degree, but now there's this saying, I think it's pronounced Atlas 3 or whatever, where you live you essentially everyone goes online and you're sort of living in reality, and you can rob each other and all of that. Do you have any experience with this or?
None at all. I am very, very straightforward when people ask me if I'm a PC gamer. I don't touch shit on PC. Like, my computer sucks. It's a miracle that I'm recording this and it's not in flames right now. So, PC games, Arma, H1Z1, stuff like that, I've never really touched. If they come to console, I'll give it a go. But.
Right, gotcha. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. No, and I get you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's Altus Life RPG, based on the Arma 3 stuff. And I'm just really interested to talk to people who have played this game. I'm gonna dive in soon myself, you know, and not live vicariously. but you know, it's just sounds really interesting, and I'm curious because you know it's literally living. It sounds more true to Second Life than what Second Life really was. Yeah. And it sounds more darker, granted, than Second Life. Second Life to me, you know, it just seemed like sort of a virtual rave, really, than anything else. Whereas this Altus Life, it sounds very cutthroat, which, as we know, you know, that's life. So anyway, just curious.
Yeah, I would have to ask the other co-hosts. We're recording another episode later tonight because we're just crazy like that. I could try asking them if they know anything about it, but the only thing I know about stuff like Second Life is reading a story of, I just remember some lady was trying to do like a speech or a presentation and she just got assaulted with all these virtual dicks in Second Life.
Nice.
That's my knowledge of Second Life.
Yeah, right. You only remember that one story, the being assaulted by virtual dicks. Yeah, nice.
You can't forget dicks because, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Well, yeah. We have one. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So time is starting to wind down for us. Okay. I did want to ask, what is next for Heavy Iron Studios? What kind of games are you working on? What's coming up in the future? What can I harass Phoebe for review copies for?
Sure. Absolutely. And that's a great wind up question. That works. Sorry. I've still got the dicks thing, and I'm like, let's not end with dicks, well, please.
Right, it wouldn't be anything new for our show to end with dicks.
Okay, so. Got you. All right, well, let's. I don't want to end with that. So, let's talk about what Heavy Iron Studios is doing in the future. So, we continue to be very close partners with Disney. So, hopefully, you guys will be able to tell you more and more about that kind of stuff. In the near future. In addition to that, like many developers out there, we are dabbling in the VR space.
Nice.
We got a few things cooking on the various devices, HTC Vive, Oculus, etc. Samsung Gear VR is in the works. And I'm really excited to hear what the hell Magic Leap, we're on their list for their SDK. So we're very interested to see that once they release it, but God knows when that's going to happen. And then we continue to work on original IP here for digital console, mobile, PC. But I can't go into too much detail there, but we're kind of covering we got a couple things that kind of cover the broad spectrum of things, whether it's sort of anywhere from sports to puzzle to even highly competitive sort of one-on-one sort of game. So that's what we're doing. Yeah. So Disney VR. We're cutting our teeth on VR. No one's quite making any money yet, but that's certainly going to change next year. I think it's going to be a little bit of a slow climb because of the price point and securing, the hardware, And I think it might be a little bit prohibitive for a lot of people out there, unfortunately, in the beginning. But that will change, as we've seen with every other, technological innovation when it comes to the hardware. But it's super fun to work in and play with, and lots of interesting new challenges. So continue, hopefully. Hey, Disney, we love you. Be nice to us. Keep us going. And the VR/AR, or as Magic Leap calls it, mixed reality. And then more original titles in the digital console and mobile space.
Have you guys looked into HoloLens development at all?
We don't have the kits yet, but we're due for those as well. And we are looking forward to that. Having been an ex-Microsoft employee, and we've done some work with Microsoft in the past. And they're, by the way, they're fantastic. Even though I've screwed up on the pricing there, those guys are fantastic, and gals are fantastic, helping independent developers self-publish games. They have a really hotshot team that cuddles you and spoons you, the whole works, and making sure that you get your game out and it's the best it can be. So I do, long way around, is I do look forward to the HoloLens. But again, there's lots of people in line to be a part of that. And we are in line, and we look forward to it at the earliest opportunity.
No, I'd like to see that. Our show, we are big Microsoft and Xbox fans on our show.
Right.
We try covering everything, but like the PlayStation 4 is like my bitchy ex-girlfriend, where she just won't go away.
Right.
But you kind of need to keep her in your life because you have a kid with her. And by kid, I mean games.
Right. Yeah.
So I have PS4 games, so I kind of need a PS4.
Right.
But I'm on my sixth one, and I'm not happy with it.
Oh, dear. Jeez.
Yeah. So we are very much fans of Xbox on our show.
I hear you there. You need everything to sort of balance it out, right? You need to have that antagonist, if you will, right?
Yeah.
I'm good with Sony, too, but I'm kind of like you, simply because I did time with Microsoft and Xbox. So I'm slightly partial to them. And I had a really good run. It was awesome working for them.
Yeah. So the Xbox One is my current wife that I love very much and want to spend my life with. The right. PlayStation 4 is my ex-wife that I have a kid with. So I kind of need to keep her around.
Right.
Just because, you need to have her there. You can't just ignore your old kid. And then Wii is that gorgeous girl at the office that you love spending time with, but you can't get too serious with.
No, because there's nothing to get serious, there's not enough dates involved with that girlfriend. Yeah, absolutely. And I have, I got to get on the Mario Maker thing. I haven't delved into that yet, and I am looking forward to that.
Game is a blast. I'm not creative, but other people are, and that's what's important.
Because
I have levels that I could play forever.
great. That's awesome. Yeah, and that's the thing with Nintendo, right? Is they put out those shiny jewels, and again, that keeps them relevant, right? And speaking of that, they're jumping in are they jumping in with? Jeez, with the Pokemon 3 stuff. Is that not Magic Leap? It's very interesting to see what Nintendo's doing. Pokemon Go. Niantic. That's what I'm thinking. With Google. I'm very curious to see how that plays out. They're kind of basing it off the Ingress engine. And so that should be fun. To see what's cooking there.
Yeah, next year is going to be even crazier for gaming. It keeps getting crazy and crazy.
Yeah. It's always something to look forward to. So, yeah, we We haven't completely fallen on our face just yet. There was a lot of disruption there, a lot of stuff fracturing, but I think the consumer is in a great spot, and they always have been. It's been a little bit hard on us independent developers trying to duck and weave and be nimble and all of that, but that just keeps us out of the bar, so that's not a bad thing.
Indeed. So let's hope 2016 is a good year for gamers, a good year for Xbox, and a good year for Heavy Iron. Sound good?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you got it.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. It has been an absolute blast talking with you. You are welcome back on anytime you want. You don't need a game to come out. If you just want to bullshit with us, you are absolutely welcome.
Well, great, Joe. It's been a real pleasure, and I certainly appreciate being here. And been fun. And I look forward to our next chat.
All right. Do you have any final words of wisdom or sarcasm for our listeners?
Keep playing games, people. You know, not everything out there is going to be awesome. But like Joe and I say, and you guys know, there's some really awesome stuff, and there's some awesome people out there trying to make it happen and make it super fun for us all. So stick around. It's going to be quite a ride.
And if nothing else, there's always virtual dicks in Second Life.
Exactly. Thank you, Joe, for ending it on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. transportation.